Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
David rejoiced in the strength of the Lord, who had responded to his faith with an overwhelming victory. He also was encouraged by the prayerful intercession of the faithful who anticipated future victory by the power of God. Are you anticipating a great victory in your life by God's mighty hand? Please open your Bible to Psalm 21 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of the Psalm of Victory.
Psalm 21 is probably the praise hymn David and his people sang after the victories prayed for in Psalm 20. They celebrated the victories from God over the enemy with thanksgiving and praise. And I think it would be a good thing for you and I every day to be singing and thanking God for the victories he's given to us. Whenever there was a victory, there was a song of praise. We have a lot to sing about. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Whenever they went out to battle, whenever they were given a victory by God, they would sing, they would worship, they would adore him, they would magnify him. They had prayed for specific blessings, and God granted them. The psalm opens and closes with praise for God's strength that was granted to his king and to the army. You see, answered prayer ought to be acknowledged by thanksgiving and fervent praise. Remember what Jesus said after he cleansed the 10 lepers? One turned back. And what did Jesus say? Where were the 9? Is it what? Wasn't what I did for you good enough? Wasn't it enough? How many times when God blesses us, gives us a victory, we say, okay, let's just move on. How we need to cultivate the habit when God gives us so many victories every single day to thank him and to praise him. He inhabits the praises of his people. He delights in our praises. Doesn't it just boggle your mind? When we're standing here singing, it's like the king is smiling over this place where he is being worshipped. I want us to be like the one leper that came back and fell down before his feet. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Psalm 21, the psalmist David rejoiced in the strength of the Lord, who had responded to his faith with an overwhelming victory. And in verse 1, he says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." I love this. This verse puts David in his proper perspective, dependent on God for whatever victories come his way. You know, we live in a day and age where there's so much counseling and things going on and talking about dependency and codependency. Do you realize how dependent we are on God? We are the most codependent people in the whole planet. We depend upon God for everything. Your very next breath, my very next breath, comes from our God. And how we need him so desperately. More than we even think we need him. I think I told you guys the story about that professional athlete. He got in a horrible accident and he had one of his arms. He lost one of his arms. So he, after rehab, he wanted to take up a sport. He wanted to play sports. So he bought a gym membership and started playing handball. Got one arm. And he was the handball champ of the gym. And then he was the handball champ of the town. And then he was the handball champ of the county. And then the handball champ of the city. And so on and so forth. He keeps on winning these championships. So A sports reporter interviews him. He says, how is it that you, with one arm, beat these other guys that are really good with two arms? He says, it's pretty simple. When the ball hits the wall, they have to choose, which arm am I going to use? He says, I only have one option. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we only have one option. When things come our way, beloved, we only have one option. Have you figured out that you and I can't move the needle 1 degree towards victory with our own strength or power or our brilliance? We have one option. One option, the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Walking by faith, not by sight. Trusting in the Lord. David here is dependent upon God. Interestingly, the word king in verse 1 is translated as King Messiah in two old Jewish sources, the Jewish Targum and the Jewish Talmud. God had promised David that his great son, the Messiah, would be an eternal king. Verse 2. You've given him his heart's desire. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, and I mentioned this in the last Psalm, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, if I delight myself in the Lord, even though I'm 70 years old, he's gonna renew my strength and allow me to be a starting pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, he'll do that. Yeah. Yeah. If you're delighting in the Lord and abiding in Him, here's what it means. He will give you godly desires. He'll give you godly desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart as you're fellowshipping with Him, because your desires will come from Him. And that's how God often directs our steps. You see, now here's something that we have to be very, very careful about. Many times as a pastor, people have come up to me and says, you know, God's put this on my heart. God's put that on my heart. And like Nathan the prophet, in my ignorance or foolishness or rashness, says, well, if God showed you to do it, go ahead and do it. But when David told Nathan, God put it upon my heart to build the temple. What did Nathan say? Go do it. Then God told Nathan, go tell David he's not going to do it. Now, David helped build the temple, but David wasn't chosen by God to actually build the temple. That was a job for Solomon to do, not him. And so it's through prayer, as we ask and as we seek and as we knock, God then begins to change our hearts. He begins to adjust our desires that they would be in line with His word. That's how we discover what His will is. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Verse 3, you prevent him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold on his head. The word prevent in verse 3 means to see to it beforehand. God went before David to the battlefield. I love that. As we abide in Jesus, when you and I are abiding in Jesus, we will not, when we're abiding in Him, trusting in Him, listening to Him, we'll never go ahead of Him. How many times, you know, how many of you have ever gone ahead of the Lord and gotten yourself in a whole bunch of trouble? Wow. More hands going up than at a Franklin Graham crusade. As you abide in Him, as I abide in Him, He leads us. He leads us. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then when we get a victory, He gives us a crown. Isn't it amazing? He gives us a crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25, 1 Timothy 4:8, James 1:12, 1 Peter 5:4, God gives us crowns. And what do we do with those crowns when we get to glory? We lay them down. We say, Lord, this does not belong to me. This belongs to you. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Don't get behind the Lord. Abide in the Lord. Okay? He'll lead you. He'll guide me and you. He asked life of thee and thou gave it him, even length of days forever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Now, this is a beautiful picture of Christ. I think one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ, the deity and humanity of Christ coming together in Philippians 2, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I love this, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a cross-reference from the book of Isaiah that was referring to Jehovah. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ, the victor over sin and death, who was made a worm, has now been placed at the height of glory, which is why in Revelation throughout all eternity, you and I are going to be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." You have made him, the King, most blessed forever. You've made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the King trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy or covenant loyalty or covenant love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Again, beloved, the reason for this great deliverance in answer to prayer is because the King trusted in the unfailing love of the Most High. That's where you and I find stability and security, when we are trusting in the Lord. John Corson said this, quote, "Stability is always found in understanding the mercy of our Master, in having a grasp on grace. It's not about how we're doing, but about what he's done. The price has been paid. The work is complete." We can be secure in that tonight. It is finished. That's why the book of Hebrews tells us we can come boldly before his throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And you and I are a needy people who live on a needy planet. And yet we have a God who is our King, who has gone to the mat for us, who's paid the price for us to bring us into this living relationship with his Father that we can go to day and night. And I'm telling you, saints, as sure as I'm standing here, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of this world is on a collision course with the body of Christ. And you better, and I better, and we better fasten our seatbelt, because this is going to be a season where the chaff is going to blow away. And only those who are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might will be able to stand. Because everything that you and I believe to be true about God, to be true about this book, is going to come under the most ferocious attack that it has ever come to, because Christ is coming back soon. Amen. Thine hand shall find out all your enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. That's the Lord. The Lord will find out your enemies. The Lord will find out those that hate you. You don't have to go on Facebook. Are you my enemy? Do you hate me? Don't do it. You'll find out. God says, I know who your enemies are. I know who hates you. He never tells us, dwell on them, dwell on that. He says, dwell on me. But notice what God's going to do to those who reject his King. You will make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, these words. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There is judgment coming to this planet. In fact, I believe that there is a judgment that has begun to take place on this nation and on this planet because we are in rebellion against the living God. And why would we think that throughout the Bible, all of these other nations that despised God, that rejected God, that shook their fist at Him, God judged, and you think America's going to get a free ticket because we have the Statue of Liberty? God help us. So you know what this means, beloved? We need to be about our Father's business. Because the most important thing on the Father's agenda for you and for me and for mankind is that souls be saved. And that souls be brought into the kingdom of God. If there's ever a time when you and I needed to be evangelical, praying evangelically, living evangelically, it's now. It's now. Because we're living in a day and age, beloved, where people, for reasons that if I wasn't saved, don't want to come to church. The Bible says you go to them. We need to be going to them. We need to be reaching out to them. We need to be going where they are. And showing them the love of God, the grace of God, the truth of God, the compassion of God. Christ is coming, beloved. He's coming. And those who do not know Him, they're going to be consumed with an everlasting fire. And it gives me pain when inside people don't want to hear the truth. There have been people that have walked out of a service here because I mentioned hell. Because I mentioned hell. I mentioned it because I don't want them to experience it. It's a real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. We're not just going through some form of godliness. We're not just here on a Wednesday night to make ourselves feel good. Kumbaya. We're okay. Everybody's okay. Things are wonderful. We're in a war. There's a war going on. There's a war going on in heaven. There's a war going on earth. There are souls that are being lost every single day. And the enemy wants us to be fragmented with other things and lesser things. Nothing bad, but the most important thing is to go into all the world and live the gospel and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because people that don't trust in Christ will be consumed in everlasting fire and torment forever and ever and ever and ever, and there is no second chance. Remember the man that went to hell and had five brothers? He says, oh, send someone to my brothers that they don't come to this place. And the voice from heaven was, they have the word and the prophets. If they're not going to listen to the word of God, signs and wonders and miracles won't do it. Well, saints, may God give us burning hearts for the lost. There's a lot of angry evangelicals who turn the lost off. Yes, what they do is evil. What they do is wicked. It's because they're not saved. God help us. Their fruit you shall destroy from the earth, their seed from among the children of men. They intended evil against thee, and people will imagine evil against you and against me. But they are not going to be able to perform it. Verse 11. Therefore shall you make them turn their back when you shall make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against thy face. And then our last verse for tonight. And then it ends so triumphantly, so beautifully. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy name. In the midst of all that's going on tonight, all of the nonsense that's going on tonight. Beloved, in just a couple of minutes, you and I are going to have the opportunity to fulfill what the Lord says. In the midst of all of the chaos and all of the confusion and all of the pain and all of the sorrow, we're going to get to sing to our King. The congregation vowed to sing and praise the might and power of the Lord who alone is exalted. Psalm 20 closes with with the people and the king asking God to hear their prayers. And Psalm 21 closes with the prayer that God would be lifted up on high and exalted. Can we do that tonight? Can we lift him up on high? Can we exalt him? Amen? Amen. Don't you just love God's word? I just love the word of God. It's like a cool stream of clear water. It's like God's medicine for the heart, for the soul, for the mind, for the affections. And maybe you're in a battle tonight, and you might feel like you're losing. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. There is not a single battle that the Lord ever led his people out to fight that was ever lost. Now, I've been in battles that I've started and I've got whooped. And God's had to teach me lessons, but never a battle that he has led me into. Father, I pray for my dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ here tonight. I pray, Father, that you would cause us this evening, that would cause us to be so aware of your powerful presence that it wouldn't just be some kind of theology in our head, a note in the margin of our Bible, that you would just so fill this place, Lord, with your presence, that you would give to those who are overwhelmed, those who are hurting, those who are discouraged, those who feel like they're giving up, those that may be watching online. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would grant comfort and breakthrough and strength and comfort and encouragement. And perhaps there's those that are watching, and they're right on the verge of just walking away. I mean, we've just heard how the enemy can rip off people. We've heard of a man that one time was being used so mightily to lead people to Christ and now disavowing his faith in you. Oh, God, help us. Help us. Keep us by your power. Keep us by your strength. Put that burn in our heart, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. Use us, Lord God, as weak as we are. Fill us with your strength, with your fire, with your power, with your passion, with holiness. Use us, Lord God. We just don't want to be a 501(c) Christian government recognized organization. We want to be a body that is deeply and devoutly connected to the living God. Lord, we want to be instruments in your right hand. We want to be instruments of righteousness. We want to be people who know how to do those things that you've called us to do. The prophet Daniel says, my people shall be strong and do exploits. Lord, grant us the strength to do the exploits that you want us to be doing. Give us words of knowledge. Give us words of hope. Give us songs in the night. Teach us how to pray, Lord, to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, forgive us for the times that we play church. Forgive us for the times where we just go through the motions. It's all lips and no heart. Lord, like the one leper who returned, we come to you and we thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for rescuing us. We thank you for your mercy towards us. We thank you for your goodness towards us. We put our needs that we do have before you tonight, the concerns that we do have before you tonight, and pray for your help from heaven. And as we sing to you, Father God, may you receive our praise and our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.